Hi, this is Anthony Turner, and today I'm talking about how I turned my life around from failure to success, and hopefully providing you some tips from my experience about how you may be able to do the same. When attempting to turn our lives around, the first thing we have to do is to acknowledge and accept the truth of the fact that our current situation is a direct reflection of our own beliefs, and that it is us who are key in creating the problems we face in our lives, and it is our sole responsibility to do something about it. If we're serious about affecting lasting change in our lives, no longer can we look to someone else to make the change for us, nor can we expect others to change themselves to suit our beliefs about how they should live or act so that we can feel better within. We also have to accept the truth that their life is their journey and responsibility, not ours. Does this mean we have to accept bad and abusive behavior from them? No, it doesn't. It means we have to take a good, hard, honest, and dispassionate look at the situations we find ourselves in and accept responsibility for the fact that on some level, we either choose to stay in this abusive environment or we allow another person to abuse us by not standing up for ourselves. Does this mean we have to accept bad and abusive behavior from others? No, it doesn't. It means we have to take a good, hard, honest, and dispassionate look at the situations we find ourselves in and accept responsibility for the fact that on some level, we either choose to stay in this abusive environment or we allow another person to abuse us by not standing up for ourselves. Our responsibility is to choose whether their way is right for us and to stay if it is, or leave if it neither sits well with us nor serves us. In my personal experience and from the observations I've made of many others, I've found that most common reasons for not feeling good are limiting belief systems, scars from our own bad experiences, and lack of life education. You know, we're all steered by these things at certain times in our lives. We all recognize the limiting hold they have over us, and yet we all continue to stay, some for longer periods of time than others, in a state of victimhood by allowing these things to hold us back. Limiting beliefs are simply beliefs that we now hold onto in our own minds as a result of being taught and convinced, first by others and then reinforced by ourselves, that we're not capable of doing or being something other than the truth of this limiting belief. Whilst it may be difficult to accept the truth that it's us that chooses to continue to sit in this very uncomfortable comfort zone of accepting the truth of this limitation, it is nevertheless true. The first thing to realize about limiting belief systems is that their original purpose was. If you think back to the original time when this belief was implanted, there was no certainty that you would have experienced something harmful, or was there any certainty that the other person's fears would have been realized? How easy is it then to now see their primary intention of protecting you was one of love and concern, not one based upon restriction? The next thing to realize is that this original thought process was implanted into your psyche some time ago, probably in childhood, and there is therefore purely a memory, an illusion of the mind, rather than something that's current or physically real. If you can accept the truth of this statement, you're also likely able to recognize that it is you rather than any external circumstance that now limits your current response actions, and that it is you, albeit probably unconsciously, that's preventing this illusion from being dispelled. The way to change or remove limiting belief systems is to first recognize them for what they are. It's next to make a conscious decision to change them and to implant a new desired behavior, and then to make that new choice each moment you're faced with circumstances that evoke that previously limiting response. Will you fall back into your old limiting ways? Quite likely. I know I've done it many times. And it's a bit like riding the bike. If you have a slip, you've got to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and then get back onto it again with both the belief that you can ride and the courage to face falling off again. Over time, we do create a habit of facing this previously limiting situation in a new way, and the old, outdated limiting beliefs are eradicated. Scars from our own bad experiences are, from my experience, some of the hardest limitations to overcome. In fact, there's still some that I work on, and I don't know how long I'll be working on these. Simply put, these are those experiences that we encounter that have caused us really deep pain and where we've emotionally decided to never repeat them again. And please note the term emotionally decided. It's the application of emotion, particularly strong emotions, on such decisions that gives them their strength and that creates such repulsion to those circumstances and such a strong fear within us not to repeat that circumstance that we avoid any and every situation that has or might have a resemblance to the original cause. The problem with this reactive thought process is that it's inherently flawed by the fact that it is based on a belief that the exact same experience will happen again and that the exact same circumstances will be available for it to happen. I say inherently flawed because the truth is it can never happen again in the exact same way. Firstly, because you've now had the experience of encountering this circumstance, you're better equipped emotionally to protect yourself from its recurrence. Secondly, the players in any new similar experience are unlikely to be the same ones, and even if they are, their actions and reactions are equally unlikely to be the same because as time will have changed you, so it will have changed them, and they are now different. What usually happens is that we hold such a strong fear of more pain, we become protective and start looking for clues in similar situations to reinforce our beliefs that the same thing is happening or it's about to happen again. Possibly the best example I can give you for this is going to the movies. And think about a horror movie where you know that there's going to be a scary bit. You know, you spend the whole movie on the edge of your seat waiting for it to happen. But what if that movie you were told was a horror movie was actually a love story? And it was actually a really, really beautiful, heartwarming story. And there was no scary bit. You would still be sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for the scary bit to happen, and in doing so, miss all of the beauty that was actually around you. And this is the same thing that happens in our lives when we are so triggered by a deep emotional pain. Our third point of changing fear is the lack of life education, which in my opinion is one of, if not the greatest disservices that's ever been created in modern times. When we look back at ancient civilizations, we can easily see how our forebears viewed other tribes as barbaric and how they spent countless centuries attempting to convert everyone else to their firmly held belief systems. These behaviors, along with man's ongoing greed for material power, has created more separation, fear, and poverty than has ever been necessary in our world. Yet, despite our so-called liberated and civilized modern attitudes of today, we continue to spend millions of dollars educating ourselves and our children on wars and how to win them, how to interpret and manipulate our laws so we can win power over others, and how to get rich quick to obtain the most toys, but still spend little by comparison on teaching ourselves and our children how to be better people, how to live in truth, how to create peace through compassion and positive interpersonal communications, or that winning is only truly winning when everyone gets to win. If instead we all took responsibility for making our own lives better, we both can and will affect change, firstly within ourselves and then with others around us, through the ways in which we choose to behave and act. As we continue with our own personal development, the inescapable journey of what life is really about, and develop further in our humanness, we have an even greater effect on others and the world becomes a better place for everyone to live in. The old sage Confucius once explained this concept best when he said, "To put the world in order, we must first put the nation in order. To put the nation in order, we must put the family in order. To put the family in order, we must cultivate our personal life. And to cultivate our personal life, we must first set our hearts right." Interestingly, the people I've met who are truly at peace within themselves have little pretense and are inspirational to be around. They have a genuinely simple, compassionate and joyous way of being. They seem to float through life on a sea of inner serenity and outward calm. Do they have challenges and tougher experiences? You bet they do. The difference is that they don't allow their challenging or tough experiences to define them. Instead, they look at them objectively and ask three simple questions. Is this my issue? If the answer is no, they let it float by like a cloud in the summer sky. And if the answer is yes, they ask the next question. How did I create or what was my part in the creation of this issue? Once they've established a clear, honest and unemotional understanding of how they created or impacted the creation of the issue, they ask the third question. What do I have to do to resolve this issue? At this point, they work out what is right rather than who is right, what the best solution is, and then do it. This simple tool has been one of, if not the most liberating ones I've ever found. It's been a key for me in removing virtually all drama from my life, and I invite you to use it in yours. As stated earlier, All of us have self-doubts, particularly about whether we have skills, courage, or ability to change our circumstances or to make a difference in our world. When I'm faced with this challenge, I think back to an illiterate tribesman in Papua New Guinea who became so fed up with the pollution in his local river and his inability to feed his family from the fish that used to live in that river that he started a campaign of awareness, which in turn created a momentum of outrage that eventually forced BHP to spend billions of dollars cleaning up the environment around its Okteni mine site. This simple man took responsibility for doing something about a problem that was affecting his life. I'm inspired by his story and use it to remember that you and I can do the same and that by taking responsibility, we can and do make a difference.